terrible child.
How so?
Can you imagine asking him to clean his room?
Well, say more.
Well, it was Passover, and Jesus and his disciples entered the temple.
The temple.
The temple.
The holy temple.
And people were selling goats and sheep and cattle and doves.
And keychains and sunglasses and commemorative spoons and you know those pens when you hold them upright? The camel slide between the pyramid and the river.
And there were money changers there too.
Trading dinars for denarii.
The noise was deafening.
Hardly a place of worship.
More like a trading floor of the New York Stock Exchange. A little like trying to worship in the middle of Reagan National Airport.
So Jesus decided enough was enough.
And enough was too much.
He cleaned house.
He formed a whip of cords and drove out the sheep and cattle.
He threw money around like it was chicken feed, and chicken feed around like it was, well, you get the point. Tables were upset.
To say nothing of the people.
And the sheep and the cows.
The stampede alone held up traffic for hours.
So the leaders of the temple asked, do you have a permit for this temple cleansing?
And Jesus said, that's nothing. Tear down this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days.
But Jesus was not talking about the temple.
The temple.
He meant the temple of his body.
And no one knew what in the world he was talking about.
Until he died and was raised again in 3 days.
So how come it's called cleansing the temple when Jesus made such a mess?
Quite to ponder.
But a warning to the children here, don't try this at home.
Sometimes I feel just like Jesus. For example, when it's in the 30s outside and raining, and Karina has some friends over, and they take over the downstairs with the computer and the Xbox. And then the boys decide to build a fort upstairs in the living room involving the couch, all the dining room chairs, and a couple blankets, and so on. And I wonder whether there's any space left for me where I can live. In our text today, Jesus' house has been taken over. His Father's house, a place to worship. And so the temple at that point was not quite like our church building here. It was a very big complex, about the size of a football field, filled with buildings and courtyards, and in the middle, the Holy of Holies. And the whole purpose of the temple was the offering of sacrifices to God. The word sacrifice originally means to approach. So it was a place to approach God, a place that one couldn't just barge in. Yet something had happened to this place, something where it had become difficult to hear God and experience his goodness. Jesus and the disciples had journeyed down to Capernaum and then up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover with a multitude of Jews. The feast of the Passover was near, and people's hearts and minds had turned back to the Exodus events and the deliverance from God. And so a host of people from all over the places gathered at the temple, the dwelling place of God. In the Synoptic Gospels in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus comes to the temple after the triumphant entry in Jerusalem. And Jesus is well known at that time. And the scene of the cleansing of the temple serves as the catalyst for Jesus' arrest. But in the Gospel of John, it is the raising of Lazarus that is the provocative sign that leads to Jesus' death. Here in John, the cleansing of the temple comes at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, following on the heels of the miracle of the wedding of Cana, turning the water into wine. And even though it seems unlikely that at the beginning of Jesus' ministries, the Jews would have tolerated Jesus' words and actions, John uses this setting, this placement, to show how Jesus' words and actions boldly announce who he is and how God is present in him. Jesus emerges on the religious scene at this point, upsetting the the peace that the Roman and Jewish authorities have worked so hard to maintain. Kind of reminds me of an Indiana Jones scene. You know, here comes Jesus with a whip in the temple, which looks more like an open-air market, cattle bellowing, sheep bleeding, turtle doves cooing, people bartering, coins clanging, kids probably playing with the coins. And yet, ironically, all this activity is necessary for the functioning of the temple, because temple tax has to be paid, and it can't be paid in the regular coins that have Caesar's image on it. It has to be coins without an image, so they have to be exchanged. Animals have to be sacrificed that have to be without blemish, and who wants to take animals along on the long journey to Jerusalem and so that they are without a blemish? So while the place might have fulfilled its function, it had lost sight of its purpose. And so Jesus cuts to the very heart of what it means to worship God as he upsets the establishment. To point to God and worshiping God in spirit and in truth. God's people had lost their vision again. They had abandoned their vision of God's house as a house of prayer, as proclaimed in Isaiah. And so as the Israelites, the Jews, reject God's house in our passage today, they would soon also destroy God's body. But we know that Jesus was raised from the dead 3 days later. In the first reading today, you heard three different readings mixed together, and one of them was the one from Exodus with the Ten Commandments, God's instruction to his chosen people. And you might remember that a couple chapters later in Exodus, Moses comes down from the mountain with the tablets of the Ten Commandments and finds the people had made a golden calf to worship. And God pours out his anger, and Moses intervenes and asks God to reconsider. And in that process, smashes the two tablets and burns the calf and grinds it into powder. That scene reminds us of our text today, where Jesus gets angry. In John's gospel, Jesus portrays his human side. He gets angry, he weeps, he gets thirsty. And St. Augustine wrote that hope has two beautiful daughters, anger so that what must not be cannot be, and courage so that what can be will be. So Jesus gets angry, just like God got angry in Exodus, to lead his people back to him.